It's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and Robin Young joins us now from Raleigh, North Carolina, where she is visiting WUNC. Hi, Robin.
Hi.
Oh, good. The line's working.
The line is working. That's one. And it is so cold here. It was -1 degree in Greensboro this morning, but we are getting a warm welcome at the WUNC Satellite Studio at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences, Jeremy. This is in Raleigh. They're broadcasting us on a screen at the Daily Planet here. This is such a beautiful museum. Jeremy, we're right behind the monarch butterfly exhibit.
And apparently near the right whale skeleton?
Yes. That was a whale that was sadly killed by a freighter, but the research done here at the museum led to Congress slowing down freighters in the shipping lanes so more would not be killed. Hmm. Another just fascinating fact, and we're going to learn more about North Carolina today, but we want to start with North Carolina political battleground.
Hello, Raleigh!
President Obama was here last week. He won a very narrow victory here in 2008. In fact, Barack Obama was the first Democrat to win the state since Jimmy Carter in 1976. But Mitt Romney, as we know, won the state in 2012. So is North Carolina red? Is it blue? Is it purple? Laura Leslie is Capitol Bureau Chief for WRAL-TV here in Raleigh. She joins us now for the political temperature here. Laura, welcome.
Hi, Robin.
And I'm looking at yesterday's News and Observer, great paper here, big headline, more Moral Monday cases drop. Now, this is referring to people who were arrested at protests right around the corner from where we are against the governor's voter ID law here in the state. It's a story that I think reflects some of the political tensions here. So first, what happened in the streets during these protests? What were they for people who didn't hear about them?
The Moral Monday protests were a series of protests on Monday evenings all throughout the legislative session. The legislature here meets on Monday nights. And so folks would gather on the mall, the lawn behind the legislature, and then some of them would come in to the building and they would hold signs, which you're not allowed to do at the legislature here. They would sing, they would chant, and some of them would get arrested. And it was actually fairly calm. I mean, the whole thing, you know, was not a particularly scary or tense situation, but, you know, all in all, hundreds of people got arrested over the course of the session week by week. And so the Wake County prosecutor is the one who's having to process all those cases through the courts, which is some of them actually did get dismissed.
Right, because they felt that there were so many people that they couldn't pursue individual cases. There were just so many people. But this reflects, it feels like a tension here. Obviously, these were people who felt that certain people were going to be, their access to voting was going to be denied by requiring a voter ID, by shortening the amount of time for voting. We know it was led, the protests were led by Dr. William Barber, president of the North Carolina branch of the NAACP. He says he's going to hold a march in Raleigh February 8th. This mm-hmm. is not over. How is this reflecting divides in the state?
Well, okay, let me say this to begin with. It is a lot of tension, and it's not just over voter ID. There are a lot of things that the Republican legislature did that that Dr. Barber and a lot of people who were opposed to them found objectionable. excuse me, voter ID is one. There were some changes in abortion law that was another one. Unemployment was another one. A lot of changes, well, and a big change if you think about it, you back up a couple of years, a sea change in North Carolina politics overall. In 2010, the Republicans took over the legislature, both chambers of the legislature, for the first time in more than a century. And following that, in 2012, Governor McCrory became the state's first Republican governor in a couple of decades.
This is Pat McCrory.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when you put it all together, you're looking at the first time Republicans have sort of run all three branches of North Carolina's government since the Reconstruction period after the Civil War. So, you know, obviously, they had a lot on their plate, a lot on their agenda that they wanted to get accomplished, and they set about to doing that. And as you can imagine, the folks who were, you know, Democrats and folks on that side, very unhappy about some of the things that were accomplished.
Well, the governor, Pat McCrory, ran on an economic recovery platform in 2012, and he spoke about how that's going earlier this week. Let's listen.
We've had some very good results, especially in the last 3 months, just by statistics alone. But our work has not ended. But we're very proud that the Washington Post recently named North Carolina one of the 9 states that won. And right now we have a 7.4% unemployment rate.
Yeah, but as we know, you know, we're sitting here in Raleigh. We're in what's called the Research Triangle. You have cities that like Raleigh and Charlotte, Durham, growing faster than any other in the country. But as they grow, other areas we understand are shrinking. There's this demographic gap. Tell us about that and how that impacts politics here.
It's a huge urban-rural divide. And when you look at the state, for example, our poverty level overall, poverty rate is 17.2% in the same state as the Research Triangle Park. You've got, you know, these big cities with, you know, great sort of, you know, engines of business. Charlotte has banking. Raleigh and Cary and Durham have RTP. They have all the medical research facilities, the universities. But when you go out in, into the country where there used to be the textile mills, for example, the furniture manufacturers, those have gone for the most part, and no jobs have really come in to replace them. And in a lot of these counties, you'll see, you know, underemployment rates of up to 30-40%. The largest employers in a lot of these counties are the government and the hospital. That's pretty much what there is.
And with young people, you show me a map. There's sort of a crescent area that's impoverished, you know, outside of these high engine areas. Well, Governor McGorry is looking for ways to boost the state's economy, and he also spoke about that. Let's listen.
While we've had recent success in our economy, one thing that is going to really drive our recovery and renaissance in North Carolina is getting into the energy business. I said this when I ran in 2008. I said it again when I ran in 2012. We're 10 years behind in this effort, and we need to begin that process as soon as possible.
Laura Leslie, he's talking about offshore oil exploration. How's that resonating here?
Well, and onshore fracking as well. It's a problematic issue here, I'll tell you. You know, what we know about North Carolina's fracking potential is that there is a deposit, a shale deposit that may have some natural gas, but it's not expected to have a whole lot of it. And other states have obviously gone ahead with fracking. We have not yet implemented it here, although that's supposed to be happening probably sometime next year. Also, offshore, there's not a lot of evidence that there's oil offshore. There may be a natural gas deposit. It's difficult to say. But Governor McCrory is truly looking for ways to jumpstart the economy. And, you know, he's also interested in solar. He's interested in biomass, clean energy. We have one of the biggest clean tech hubs in the country right here in RTP. So he is an all-of-the-above kind of, you know, guy on energy policy, but is very interested in that exploration for those fossil fuels. And as you know, we have a huge fishing industry, huge tourism industry out on the coast. A lot of people are very concerned about what that might mean for those industries.
Well, we've just touched on a few things, and over the course of the hour, we're going to, you know, touch on more. But what do you think, North Carolina? Tilting red, tilting blue, some say purple. What do you say?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where the state was never all that liberal to begin with. Mm-hmm. Our Democrats here could pass for Republicans in most places. Mm-hmm. So the Republican takeover obviously does tilt red. And when the Republican lawmakers redrew the voting maps, they made sure it was going to stay red for some time. But they're up against demographics because we have so many people moving into the state from other places in the country that it's really difficult to predict 2 years or 4 years down the road exactly where the electorate is going to land.
Yeah. Laura Leslie, Capitol Bureau Chief for WRAL-TV here in Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studio with us, taking a look at North Carolina. Laura, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we're listening to some homegrown North Carolina music. Jeremy?
Yeah, and such an interesting discussion, Robin. So much interesting politics in that state. We'll look forward to checking back with you later this hour in North Carolina. This is Here and Now.